she's on to Vicky. Oh yeah.
Everybody, you on For Your Soul's Sake, and I'm Dr. Vicky. I was just enjoying that new intro music. My son Trey was kind enough to make that for me. It is great. I mean, I just want to tell my son Trey, listen, this has got me even more inspired to keep grinding and go out there and do my thing. I will have a talk show coming soon, either on radio or television. Listen, 175 Americans die each day from this epidemic. 42,000 deaths in 2016. This is a crisis. It is an epidemic. We have 2 million people who are dependent. Today, this is a great topic. We're going to be talking about the opioid epidemic. I have a great special guest who is here with me, who knows a lot about substance abuse and about this epidemic. She has a lot of information to share. If you know someone who is dependent, or who you suspect, you can't miss this show. You know that I am definitely on this journey to erase the stigma of seeking mental health services. I want to make this just common, everyday table talk conversation for you. So today, let's welcome Dr. Jackie Darby. Hi, Dr. Darby.
Hi, Dr. Vicky.
I know you have a lot of great information for us to share. What do you think about those stats that I just gave?
I think it's appalling, but I also think it's underreported because, you know, as you're talking about stigma, nothing's a bigger stigma or a bigger secret than drug use. And so everybody has that one person in their family that no one really talks about, but they're also very mindful of their purse or their wallet or making sure they're not kept by the valuables because things tend to go missing around them. So as appalling as those statistics are, and they really sad in my heart to hear, I know there's probably more individuals who are using or abusing substances.
I believe you are so right, Dr. Darby. Let me first off start saying, too, that I'm so proud of you for everything that you're doing in the community.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you are one of these young women who I think are just amazing. And I don't say this very often, but if people come to me who need services, they want therapy, I would actually refer them to you.
Oh, the feels.
Yeah. So let's talk about opioids. Can you name some of them?
Sure. Opioids. Let's talk about fentanyl, right? Mm-hmm. Heroin, Oxycontin, Vicodins, right? They're common household names. And it's interesting you said opioids because okay. Actually there's opiates and opioids. Opiates, it refers to the stuff that comes from the poppy plant. So your heroines, your morphines. And opioids refers to the prescription medications that are prescribed by doctors. So your mm-hmm. Vicodins, your hydrocodones, your fentanyls. So although people use them interchangeably, they're technically two different things, but it's totally fine mm-hmm. to use them. I will use them interchangeably as well throughout today. So
yeah, interesting you said that. Dr. Darby, can you tell our listeners how does it start? Because many people always come to me. When they come to me, they want answers. Mm-hmm. And they say, what happened? Is it something I did wrong as a parent? Did I do something wrong as a husband or wife? How did it start?
It's really simple. People think it's very complicated, and it's not, unfortunately. It doesn't take that long for your body to get physically addicted to something, especially when it works. And I often tell clients that it's hard to be rude, but it's not really about you. Mm-hmm. It's actually about the person. They're in pain. And opiates are really good at fixing pain. The body doesn't know the difference between physical pain and emotional pain, right? And you see in little kids
who
say—
That's huge, Dr. Darby. Tell us more about that.
Right. You see in little kids, for example, that come and say, I feel bad, right? My stomach hurts. And when you start talking to them, you realize it's not a stomach pain. They're just feeling sad. They're feeling scared. And again, it's harder to talk about emotional pain rather than physical pain. So an individual who is struggling with opiate dependence, they are in pain. And they're using the only tool that they know will work, which is to take a pill or to use heroin or to sip on lean, which is also a byproduct of opiates. And it works. It stops the pain. And so they keep doing it because they don't have any other tool. So if people say take themselves out of it and look at, okay, how is this person learning how to cope with something that they're struggling with? Let me help them with that. Let me provide them with options. And that's where providers come in, mental health providers, social workers, counselors, medical providers to offer different options. Then I find that that's kind of how it starts. It's they're in pain.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Darby, really quickly, if people would like to get in touch with you after the show, could you please let them know how to get in touch with you? Because not only are you a therapist, you are a trainer, you are a speaker, you do consulting. I see you very valuable to many organizations and agencies right here in the DMV.
Yes. So you can definitely reach to me by email at drjdarby, D-A-R-B-Y, at gmail.com. I will have a website with the same name coming soon at www.drjdarby.com. That's the best ways to reach me as well. And I look forward to, I'd love talking about substance use in the community, mental health concerns in general, multicultural isms as well, because like you said, breaking the stigma and having this be just a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's oftentimes what I see it as.
That is huge. Dr. Darby, does it look different, this this epidemic, this disease, if I may, opioids and opiates, mm-hmm. does it look different, for example, in men or women?
No. The I won't say the beauty about it because it sounds odd to say, but the thing, and honestly, about substance use is that it looks the same. It crosses all genders, races, ethnicities. The consequences of that drug use looks different, right? So just to be completely honest, because a lot of substance use comes from a social political background, is that when it was in the inner cities, when it was heroin addicts, right, no one really talking about it. All of a sudden now you have it more in the suburbs, and now it is to become an issue, and it is an issue. Yeah. Right. So I'm not knocking it at all. It is an issue. But now it's becoming a trending topic and people are funding it. So the consequences of it, of that looks different. You know, in children, you might see interfering their schoolwork. In adults, you see it interfering their real work. In older adults, you see how it's playing out in their relationships with their family or impacting their health because they are having other medications, handling other different things. So the consequences of drug use looks different based on the ethnicity or the socioeconomic status or the age of the person, but the actual symptoms of drug use itself looks the same.
So, Dr. Darby, this is a really good conversation. I always hear people say somebody is a functional alcoholic or something. Could this person be functional too? Like, what would the rock bottom look like for someone who has this dependency?
It could look different from everybody.
Okay.
But yes, they could be a functioning opiate user. You probably see them every day.
Okay.
Right? Because these pain pills, they last long. So people can get used to it. You can develop a dependency on it so that you kind of have a same type of medication. You just need more of it to get the same effects. So that's a tolerance of it. So you see people working with that every single day. And a rock bottom is a personal thing. What could be rock bottom to me, as in losing a house or, you know, infecting my schoolwork or when mm-hmm. I was in school, could be completely different to you.
Okay.
And it's hard to say what a rock bottom is. But it's when the point where the person's like, the consequences of me using it is more than me not using it.
Dr. Darby, we are in the DMV, specifically in D.C. Do you have anything, you know, that you could say to our D.C. listeners about the community in D.C.? Any facts?
Yes, of course. You know, I'm a person of scholar, so of course I come with facts. So the D.C. Office of the Chief Medical Examiner just put out a report, and NPR actually put it up as well, that 80% of D.C. opiate deaths were of African-American individuals. Hmm. So imagine if 100 people died from opiate use, 80 of them were Black. That's a staggering statistic. And a lot of that, what they're contributing to is the increase of fentanyl that's being used throughout the community. And fentanyl is, when you compare it to heroin, mm-hmm. is 30 to 50 times more potent. So it doesn't take a lot to have its effect, but it also has a very thin line between it being therapeutic and it from it being deadly. And oftentimes you see individuals who are getting it spiked in their marijuana or they're cutting it with something else. So that contributes to a lot of deaths because people are unaware of how potent it actually is.
This is huge. You own For Your Soul's Sake, and I'm Dr. Vicky. Today, my special guest is Dr. Jacqueline Darby. She specializes in substance abuse and is very, very knowledgeable in this opiate epidemic. If you would like to call in the show, the number to call is 800-450-7876. Maybe you have a question for Dr. Darby. Again, the number is 800-450-7876. And I will have her to tell you by the end of the show, before we end the show, how you can get in touch with her. So, Dr. Darby, if I hear you correctly, you're saying that, you know, really, can you tell my listeners, does it look different across the ages? I think you touched on that, but what about ethnicities or socioeconomic status? Would it look different in any of those demographics?
Again, no. It's the actual use itself does not look different. It is, again, the consequences of that use that may look different. And that's what I really put people to understand is not substance use does not have a look, right? We all have this image of, you know, Smokey from Friday, you know, right? That's what a user looks like. Actually, no, a person every day who walks by you could be struggling with substance use. And so it doesn't have a look. But what it does have is that certain demographics may have different consequences because of social political reasons, because of their drug use. You know, now inner cities, you might have it where it's criminalized. So they have the court system, they're in jail, they're in mandate treatment. In the suburbs, they may have it more treatment-wise. So now they're in the inpatient, outpatient facilities. They're in these nice, sober living places and that people who are in lower SES may not have access to. So again, it's the consequences of it, not necessarily the actual drug use itself.
I see exactly what you're saying. Before we end the show as well, to my listeners, I will have Dr. Darby share some resources with you. She has a lot of great resource information. And also, I'll let her give you some of her quick tips. So again, stay tuned. I also let her tell you how to get in touch with her before she ends the show. She's a wonderful speaker, a wonderful trainer. A person who you can bring into your agency, your organization, and to do some great consulting work with you. The government calls this a nationwide public health emergency. It is record-setting in deaths. I think I told you earlier that there are 175 Americans dying each day. 2 million people are dependent. In 2016, 42,000 people died of this dependency on opioids. This is a great show today. That many people are dying and with that type of dependency has to cross many households here in our country. Dr. Darby, what signs or behaviors should families and friends be looking for? Oftentimes, they are trying to verify if it's truly an addiction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't want to jump too quickly. What would mm-hmm. they be looking for?
Actually, I don't feel like there's a jump too quickly. I feel like if you see something, say something, right? And when you come at it, you come with a place of being out of concern and love. Like, hey, I'm noticing these changes. And what are these changes? These changes are differences in attitude, differences in interacting with them. All of a sudden, they're not going to work as frequently as they should, or they're not going to class as frequently as they did. All of a sudden, they went from being bright and cheery to very withdrawn and sad and isolated, right? Because a lot of these are prescribed. They are given to a doctor. So if you have a 7-day supply or 30-day supply of medication, all of a sudden the medication's out before those prescriptions are filled, that's a sign that, hey, something's off. So let's go ahead and talk about it.
Great topic today, Dr. Darby. I am really enjoying you. I'm so excited for you to be here. This is a very important topic. Don't touch that dial. We have a lot of information for you. Right now, let's talk to Deborah. Hey, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Just fine, Deborah. You on For Your Soul's Sake. I'm Dr. Vicky, and I have Dr. Darby here. What kind of question do you have for us today?
Good morning, Dr. Darby. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm a 60s baby, so long ago people thought that marijuana was a gateway drug for society, you know, for my generation. Do you think that there are just certain drugs today that are maybe considered gateway drugs for teenagers and young adults today. I'm going to listen and let you hang up and answer, okay?
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you so much.
Well, right, first, thank you for calling in. And so the idea of a gateway drug is very interesting, as if somehow the substance has a magical power to really just let everything happen, right? What I typically find is that it's not necessarily a gateway drug, but rather a gateway attitude. What do you allow to enter into your home for a teenager, for example? What behaviors are you allowing them for them to do? And so I wouldn't necessarily say it's a gateway drug, because also with marijuana, we don't know, right? We don't know so much about the substance, as well as opiates. We don't know. And we're allowing people just to take them at random. So right now, the research isn't saying that their interstate is a gateway drug. What it's saying is that it kind of opens you up to other possibilities that could happen. And based on the person, they decide if they're going to go for it or not. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. It's kind of hard to answer a yes or no when research is still happening.
It is. And research is very important. You hit on something else, Dr. Darby. The federal government says that legal opioid prescriptions, they think that that's the issue. In 2015, opioids were three times higher prescribed than they were in 1999. Mm. What do you think about that?
I think it's a business. Let's keep it 100, right? Uh-huh. Let's keep it real. Even from, you know, the person who, the dope boy that you see on the corner to the CEO of a prescription company, it is a business. Right. And so if you, again, you have people in pain and I have a medicine for you, I will prescribe it. There's other options. There's other avenues. I'm not saying don't take it. I'm just saying talk to your doctor about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised. Again, it's all about what we know, and we trust our doctors. And so we take what,
that's a good
what,
point
what they tell us. And that's good. You should trust your doctor. Mm-hmm. You should also question, because question does not mean he doesn't trust. He's going to be well-informed. Mm-hmm. So there are other options to take. Talk to your doctor about whatever medications they are prescribing.
You know what, Dr. Darby? Thank you so much. We talked about the signs and behaviors. You gave families and friends some great information. Not only are they looking for signs, Dr. Darby, but they're often wondering, what can I do? Mm-hmm. So it's been confirmed, right? They know something's wrong. This person is dependent. They have a substance use disorder. Oh my God, it's opioids, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of intervention? What would you encourage them to do?
Well, we're going to assume that the person wants to go.
Okay.
Okay, let's assume that,
so
right?
So it's the person who wants help.
The person wants help, right? Okay. So the different options. You can go inpatient, which meaning that you're in a residential facility and there's medical treatment that help you. There's different type of medications that kind of ease you off of the opioid use. There is also outpatient, which is you go and you work throughout the day and then you come at night for either groups or individual or one-on-ones. There's individual therapy. You sit with somebody one-on-one and you kind of talk about your concerns. You talk about your issues and kind of what led to the drug use, mm-hmm. as well as family, because this is a system, right? There's something about the system that kind of supported this person to kind of go for that tool to get help. So sometimes the family has to readjust to the person getting well.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend family therapy as well. So it's all different options. One good website that I recommend is the National Institute of Drug Administration, which is NIDA.org. That is a great website to go get information, get help, get mm-hmm. resources.
Repeat that again, Dr. Darby.
Sure, can I talk fast? NIDA.org. Mm-hmm. It is a great website that you can go to get resources. You can also call, if you're in Maryland, 211 and press 1 at the prompt.
Oh, okay.
And that would also give you information and resources of where you can go to get help.
Excellent. Dr. Darby, in your experience, access to care, is that easy around substance abuse? Can it be tricky or difficult?
Y'all can't see my face right now. I'm smirking, but it can be interesting.
Okay.
Right? It kind of goes again with the consequences of drug use, right? The social economical part of it. A lot of insurance will cover substance use recovery. So that can be handled with care. A lot of places, because there's a lot of funding being given to grants for local agencies, are opening their doors to allowing people to get in. Now, when it comes to access to care, it's not just the places that are opening their doors, but can you get to the places that are opening their doors? The one beautiful thing about DC area is that there are a lot of opportunities in Maryland, in DC, in Virginia, that are actually really working hard for individuals to get help and get support.
Wow. Dr. Darby, this is amazing. Again, before the end of the show, I'm going to have you give some quick tips to our listeners. And some more resources as well. When you think about this nationally, Dr. Darby, right? Just mm-hmm. Well, nationally around our country. Are you thinking of any solutions?
I think first thing first is let's reduce the stigma of mental health. This is straight Jackie Darbyism, okay?
Straight Jackie Darbyism. I love Jackie Darbyism.
Is the fact that a lot of times substance abuse has a mental health component, right? They're struggling.
Oh, absolutely.
They're struggling with something.
No, Dr. Darby, not to interrupt you, but
it's your show.
Listen, people would rather have anything than a quote drug problem.
Right.
They don't want to admit that. That is the most embarrassing thing to people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like people will come to me and say, "Oh no, I got major depression." After the assessment, I'm telling them this is a substance use disorder. Do you know they will say, no, it's depression.
Right. It's like, yeah, I can help you with depression, but you know your alcohol use is interfering with your depression,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's like in the movie Cool Hand Luke, you know, you are putting dirt in my hole. Why you have hole in my dirt? You know, it's that idea of you're fixing one problem, but it's bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get having a conversation about
that stigma,
about the stigma, right? And then we can start opening doors, and that's in that big old secret. Yeah. And now people can actually get the help at an earlier stage versus when they're at their rock bottom. Because you don't have to be at rock bottom to get help.
That's true.
Right? That's the big thing.
That is true.
You can get help at any stage.
And you know what, Dr. Darby? We are in the DMV. Not only do we have a lot of military who have security clearances,
mm-hmm.
a lot of our government employees have security clearances as well. And even I can think about even our congressmen, our senators, I mean, different people, they will never come forward with this, right? Because it's the big fear that when it comes time for me to renew my security clearance, I may have to, they ask, have you received mental health services?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to check and say, yeah.
Yeah, which is scary because you have someone who is struggling with something that could be handled, that could be managed. With security stuff.
I totally agree.
That's a whole different conversation totally for a whole agree. Different show.
Another day.
But I'm also thinking in terms of what somebody can do right now. And I think one thing is, again, if you're in the state of Maryland, you can call 211 and press 1 at the prompt. And
that's huge. Yeah.
And get resources. You can also, there's 12-step groups, NA, for example, which is, that does not have a medical provider providing services. It's basically a community of individuals who have been there, done that, wore the t-shirt, and got it dry clean. And they have local groups as well. There's always a meeting every hour, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the website for that is cprna.org, which is the local area for finding a 12-step group. You can also go on an app because everything's accessible through app. So that's, I'm thinking, two quick ways if someone can reach out. That's the biggest thing. Let's reach out, lean in, and get the support that you need.
I think you kind of touched on it earlier, Dr. Darby. The best treatments, could you just tell us quickly, you know, two or three of the best treatments? What's efficacious out there?
Efficacious, there's two different models of thought. You can go strictly into the inpatient, using therapy, using recovery skills, coping skills, and helping the person have other tools that they can use in order to get help. There's also a medication route. So Suboxone, Vivitrol, which is a shot that is given every 28 days that blocks opiate use. So you can use it, but you don't get high. So what's the point? That are also really great tools. And a lot of times, again, insurance may cover them.
Okay.
So in terms of access to care, and there's a lot of grants being given for programs that are running that.
Mm-hmm.
So as well as methadone. People are like, oh, methadone, why? Because it is an opiate. But the thing about methadone is that sometimes people, it's easier to try to trade that out rather than just stopping cold turkey.
Mm-hmm. This has been an amazing conversation. Again, you on For Your Soul's Sake, and I'm Dr. Vicky. I really do appreciate you for joining us today as we discuss this opioid epidemic, this substance use disorder that is, you know, it is paramount in many communities. Dr. Darby, would you tell our listeners again, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. They can get in touch with me through email at drdrjdarby@gmail.com or you can go to the website, www.drjdarby.com.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Dr. Darby, before we close this show, I run out of time. What quick tips do you have for my listeners? This is Jackie Darbyism, as you say.
My Jackie Darbyism. The one thing I always tell my clients is that self-care is the best care. It's putting yourself first in terms of what your needs are. It's not being selfish. It's actually taking care of others. You cannot pour from an empty cup. So make sure you stop and refill yourself every once in a while so you can keep doing the great work that you want to do.
That's huge. Anything else, Dr. Darby, to parents or a loved one who was watching someone with?
Again, reaching out, coming from a place of concern, of love, and you want to help to support the individual. Don't think of it as a moral issue. It's not a moral issue. If the person could do better, they would do better. It is actually just a way that they don't have the skills and tools that they need to do better. So let's provide them an environment where they can learn those skills and tools.
Jackie, I sure do appreciate you joining me today, Dr. Darby. What final thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with in 1 minute? Everybody listen, this is your moment with Dr. Darby.
I think like the work that you're doing now is breaking the stigma and talking about it and have real world conversations about it is the one thing that I would actually love for every one of your listeners to do. Let's break the stigma. Let's talk about it. Let's get people the help that they need so that they can go on living their best life, as my mom would say, living their best
Yeah. We all have something that our mother said. Listen, this has been a great show today. I appreciate you for taking the time out of your busy Saturday afternoon. Be sure and join me next Saturday, 1:30, same time for another great conversation. I know everybody out there is applauding, saying, yay, giving Dr. Darby applause. And so this is the end of our show. I just want to leave you, you know, it is never too late to be what you might have been. And your current situation is not your destination. Everybody take care.
All right, you have a good one. Thank you so much for inviting me. Hey, Miss Vicky, tell me, hey, Miss Vicky, so much, hey, Miss Vicky, this world, that is, that's a lie.